All right, you guys can start turning to Psalm 98 this morning. Last week we started the series that we called Carols. Last week we looked at the commonly sang tune, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We looked at Luke 2 with that one. And we looked at the trip that Joseph and Mary took from Nazareth to Bethlehem. We explored what it might have been like during that trip. The context of some of the significance that there was in that small rural town, how we might be able to relate around here, and how God takes those small things and makes them into big things, how we honor God when we sing that song. Now, if you guys missed it last week and you want to catch it, it is on our website, so feel free to check it out there, or else we can always make you a CD if you don't do the whole online thing. But the whole point of this whole series is to look at the lyrics of the songs that we sing, whether it be modern worship songs or Christmas carols. Look at the lyrics to what we sing. Look at how they line up to God's Word. Even if you think that Christmas carols are overplayed or outdated, it doesn't change the fact that the words are what the words are. A lot of these songs, even though they're completely associated with Christmas to us, they were actually never written for this specific holiday. They were written to glorify God and speak truth. And eventually they became what we know as Christmas carols. So this morning, we're looking at Joy to the World. And somehow I want to say Jeremiah is a bullfrog right now with all the jokes about frogs. You'll get that later if you didn't get it right already. We're not talking about the song by, I think it's Three Dog Night. We're not talking about that song. We're talking about the Joy to the World we just finished singing a few minutes ago. We're looking at the version that proclaims Christ's birth. So a little background about this song and the writer. Joy to the World was written by Isaac Watts, who lived in Southampton, which is on the southern coast of Great Britain. And he originally wrote this text as a paraphrase of Psalm 98. He published it in the Psalms of David Imitated, which was written in 1719 under the heading, The Messiah's Coming and Kingdom. So this Christmas carol that we sing here today, it comes with a slightly modified version from the original text, taking and repeating certain lines to make it into a catchy verse to fit the tune that it was being adapted to, and ultimately became a hymn and then a Christmas carol. So we're going to start by reading through Psalm 98 this morning. It's a shorter psalm, only 9 verses. Starting in verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world, and the peoples with equity. May God bless the reading of his word. This whole psalm is a joyful celebration of our Lord. The first part of the psalm recognizes the glory of the Redeemer. So fitting that Sean had no clue where I was going with today's sermon, and he starts with a psalm. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This first section, though, it talks about him as the Redeemer. It's a messianic psalm, pointing to the coming of the Messiah, pointing to our Savior, reminding us that he is our triumphant King. Now, I know I've talked about it before, but I'm going to explain it again, what a triumph is. The definition of a triumph was that it was a Roman victory, and they would return in a procession. People gathering before the victorious general, shouting and praising, they would show off all the spoils that they took in the victory. They would show off what they conquered. They would show the captives that they made, the spoils that they took. They came in a chariot pulled by four big horses. This is almost what the psalmist was describing in this psalm too. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. This psalm is exactly that, a triumph for our King. Even before Jesus came as King, David was proclaiming him as King. It's real interesting how Holy Spirit lines everything up. Because this next point that I have, a little fact that I have here, Kim came up and shared the verse of the day, which was out of Psalm 47. There are 7 psalms that celebrate God as our King. If you're ever reading more on this, or if you want to do research for yourself, they're called the Enthronement Psalms. They're Psalms 47, 93, and then 95 through 99. So fitting that God would point this all out this morning. Here in Psalm 98, though, the first 3 verses praise God our Lord for what he's done already. What we've seen him do in the past, what he's showing us the victory in already. That he's shown us victory in salvation. He's shown us victory in righteousness. He's shown his mercy and his faithfulness. And the whole world can't help but notice it. Psalm 96 starts out in the same way. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory from among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So Psalm 96 here is actually one of the psalms that David gave to Asaph on the day that they brought the ark back to the tabernacle. If you're taking notes, it's found in 1 Chronicles 16, where we see these exact same verses as in Psalm 96. You might remember the story of David bringing the ark back to when he built the tabernacle for the house to house the ark. He was celebrating the ark coming back to Jerusalem. David was dancing in the streets before his king. He was giving our king a triumph with the Ark of the Covenant coming back. A processional of celebration, showing the victory over it all. The second part of this psalm, we see how much joy this king has brought and is being recognized. verse 4, it says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King." We see how much of a triumph is being carried out. We see how there's joy in the celebration. The celebration with instruments and songs. The way the psalm started out, sing a new song. Sing that spontaneous song. Letting what's on our heart flow out of our mouth with melody. Out of a couple other translations here, verses 4 through 6, out of the Message Bible. "Shout your praises to God, everybody. Let loose and sing. Strike up the band. Rout up an orchestra to play for God. Add on a 100-voice choir. Feature trumpets and big trombones. Fill the air with praises to King God." The Passion Translation. "So go ahead, everybody, and shout out your praises with joy. Break out of the box and let loose with the most joyous sound of praise. Sing your melody of praise to the Lord and make music like never before. Blow those trumpets and shofars. Shout with joyous triumph before King Yahweh." Singing joy to the world. Think about the words. Sing it as if it's a newer song that you're singing. Let it flow from your heart. We can praise God, our King, from our inner man. Sing like we've never sung it before. That new song that rises from within us. It might be like a song that we started out with. It probably started as someone's personal new song they were singing. Singing, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Sing of His promises like never before. Let it well up with inside you. Start singing and proclaiming how great He is. Praise God for everybody to hear it. There's joy that can't be contained. There's joy that's going to overflow. Shout the victory with joy. Shout the triumph. I can just picture the celebration that was going on there with the ark being carried back to Jerusalem. All the shouting, all the dancing, the shofars blowing, the praises being shouted. I mean, you just think about that. Here David and everybody else is coming through the city. They're coming back up through, I mean, you could probably hear them from miles away heading up into town. You knew there was joy. You knew there was victory over all of that. Continuing in verse 7. "Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord." Not too long ago, we talked about the fullness of God around Thanksgiving. How God created everything anyway. How all of it is His. That all of creation will bow before God. We talked about it during the triumphal entry when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem before He was crucified. Beside the palm branches and Jesus riding on a donkey, you heard the Pharisee asking Jesus to get everybody to quiet down. To get everybody to stop shouting the praises, to get everybody to stop announcing Jesus is coming. And Jesus had replied to the Pharisees, telling them that even if the disciples and the whole crowd had went silent, even the rocks would cry out, proclaiming God. Everything acknowledges God. Even Satan and his fallen angels recognize God for who He is. But the difference is that Satan rejected God. But everything God has created acknowledges Him as God. Every sea, every mountain, every river, every pasture, every single thing reflects the joy of our Savior. Finally, in verse 9 here, "For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world, and the peoples with equity." God is the supreme ruler of all. He is our reigning king. What he says goes. He's the one who judges whether something is allowed to remain or if it needs to go. With righteousness he shall judge the world. That is our measure. Not comparing ourselves to someone else, but in comparing ourselves with his holiness, his righteousness. Here's some good news here in Jeremiah 23, starting in verse 5. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." This time of year, more than others, I love reflecting on the prophecies that came forth of Jesus. Those foretellings that are pointed out all throughout the Scripture, that they all pointed directly to Jesus. How God didn't surprise anyone. He fully telegraphed what he was going to be doing. He gave us little reminders here and there about the Messiah, our Savior. It's one thing Jeremiah did exactly right, or did that exactly here, is that he pointed that God would raise a branch of righteousness. The divine king to reign and prosper. Yes, God wants us to prosper. Jesus came to set us right with God in judgment and righteousness. Jesus is our Lord, our righteousness. Romans 3, starting in verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Here's part of the comfort of Christmas. Jesus, our Savior, came to earth. He judges based on our righteousness. Now listen, our own righteousness is worthless. It's like filthy rags, as Paul says. But our righteousness through Christ, the righteousness imparted to us by Christ, is what he sees when we get judged. Our right standing with God is given to us by faith in Jesus. That he came and lived a perfect life and was crucified. He rose from the dead. He conquered the grave, declared victory over sin and death. God freely gives us his grace, that what we didn't deserve. It's all because of faith in Jesus Christ, redeeming us back to a relationship with God. Now that we've looked at this psalm that Isaac Watts was paraphrasing, let's revisit the hymn. I'll say, or that. Diane, if you want to flip to the lyrics of the song. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." Joy to the world. As it says in the Psalms, we should rejoice. We should be glad with the good news that Jesus has come, that our Savior has come to earth, and the whole world can receive this joy. We receive King Jesus. Yes, Jesus was born as a baby, but he was also born as King. And he wasn't a baby for long. He's always been King for those who will receive him, though. Jesus is faithful to be right there with us. Heaven and nature indeed does sing rejoicing for our King. Verse 2 here. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Precious King Jesus, he reigns. We sing to our King. Mankind, we sing of our King. We give him a triumph, and all of nature repeats his glory. It all proclaims his joy. From the seas and the mountains and everything in between, it's all his. It all sounds for joy for Jesus. The third verse goes, no more let sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. This is the less sung verse of this song. You know, we all like the happy and uplifting parts of the songs and that. But we can't skip over what the writer was writing here. We can't skip over that this is part of exactly the good news that people need to understand about Jesus. That he came to restore us to the way it was supposed to be before Adam and Eve sinned. He came so that we can be victorious over that sin. He came to restore our relationship with God. He didn't just come for salvation. He came for restoration. He came as King over his kingdom. Sin and the curse is in our dominion. We have authority over sin, curse, and death. It's no longer a part of what controls us. Verse 4 here finishes out saying, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Jesus is still on the throne. I know we say it week after week, but Jesus is still on the throne. He rules the world, despite what the enemy may think. God judges based on his righteousness. The things that God rules are with truth and with grace. He is a loving God who wants people to know him. He wants people to see his love, to know his love. God reigns with love. I'm so glad that God is the God of second chances. Sometimes not just second chances, but it's second, third, fourth, fifth. Start going up exponentially there. God is so awesome. He's so much that loving Father that we need to know him as. So yeah, I think we can sing Joy to the World anytime. We can recognize that God's sovereignty is all the time. It's a good thing to be joyful about our King. Good to be joyful in praising him, giving him a triumph. Letting everybody know how much we love Him, how much we celebrate the victory that He has. It's a good thing to be joyful in this time. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You are the one who sets everything in order. Lord, we thank You for that victory that You gave us over the grave, over sin, over death, over the curse. Lord, we thank You that we are no longer bound by that, that we're no longer bound by any of those things, God, that we take full dominion over the enemy, God. Lord, rise up the song within us. Lord, rise up that song of joy and victory and praising You for who You are. Lord, help us recognize You in our lives. Help us recognize everything that You are doing. Let us celebrate that. Lord, show us how to honor You in our song, God. Lord, show us how to honor You with our words, Lord. Lord, we love You. We just want to praise Your name, God. We thank You for what You're doing. We thank You for who You are. It's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.